free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me say thank you once again for joining us on Let's Face the Issue today. We're delighted that as we are speaking on this issue, we have the privilege of going back to the Scripture, delineating what the Scripture says in relationship to an answer to the question, does purgatory really exist? Our secondary question, did Jesus really go to hell for us? Ladies and gentlemen, it depends on who you're listening to, who you're talking with, but we have a juxtaposition today across all denominational lines where some believe that. Listen to what the Scripture says, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, Jesus didn't say in Matthew 12, 40, that just as Jonah was in hell 3 days and three nights, that he's going to be in hell 3 days and three nights. It says in the heart of the earth. It is simply a euphemism talking about that place called death, that place, the grave, nothing more and nothing less. I'm looking at an article that says some of the confusion in this article that I'm reading, some of the confusion arises from the such passages of Psalm 16, verse 10, 11, as translated in the King James. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. It's talking about the grave. The Scripture said in Psalm 16, referring to Jesus, that he's not going to be left in the grave more than that 3 days and three nights where it sees decay. Jesus' body remained in the grave 3 days and three nights, but there was no decay because decay begins in the blood. The blood that was in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ was God's blood, which is sinless blood, and sin is the heart of that which starts the decay process in that physical body when it goes to the grave. Further, this article says, thou will not show me thy path of life. Hell is not a correct translation in this verse. A correct reading, it would be grave, or Sheol, as it is called. Jesus said the thief to him, today thou will be with me in paradise. Dr. Davis, that's what was said just a moment ago.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, since you're in that area, and you talked about the confusion that happens behind the explanation of what you just got finished saying, let me get you to elaborate on this, because here's what I've had to happen with individuals at various times. Some have come to the church, you know, when I was doing a Bible study with a group there, and some have challenged me out in the streets, on street corners, Walmart, et cetera, et cetera, and they want to step aside and start talking about the Bible. Mm-hmm. But here's what they try to do, Dr. Youngblood, and let me warn you against this, everybody that's listening on today. These other books that's called the lost books of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the other Gospels, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, et cetera, et cetera. The other books that we find in the Catholic Bible. Mm-hmm. Where, and then, you know, they have a question. Well, how come the Christian Bible doesn't have as many books as the Catholic Bible, et cetera, et cetera? Okay, I mean, we're not here to argue about all of that, but we want to keep you in the area of the truths of Scripture.
Yes.
So this is the reason why I say some people's minds are not strong enough and their faith is already not strong enough to believe in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they step off in the areas of the lost books of the Bible, which are only going to generate more confusion rather than bringing you to the knowledge of the truth?
It's simply because itching ears, Dr. Davis, itching ears. People today are seeking to find something new, something unique, something that's different, something that's never been heard or said before. People are seeking because of the itching ears. They're heaping to themselves teachers. That is, teachers not with itching ears, but people with itching ears. I found people today, those that are supposedly saved, those that are called Christian, they believe that they're saved, but they talk about all these extraneous things rather than getting back to the fundamentals of the faith. What does the Bible say? I'm not concerned about what Irenaeus said. I'm not concerned about Martin Luther and what he said. I'm not concerned about St. Augustine, the saint he ain't, as to what he said. I'm concerned about what God says in God's Word.
Amen.
Without any addition, without any subtraction, simply what does God's Word say? And that's what we're wanting to do today. I believe we have Davis on the line. Go with the question and comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood and Brother Davis, for this. This is a very, very issue with me. I know at least 239% of the preachers in the world today, regardless of the denomination, will preach and teach Christ was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, like Jonah was, and then the doctrine that they're teaching today, it was a weekend crucifixion because of the custom of the people thinking that part of a day was a whole day. I mean, that is a different gospel from what Jesus said. I believe what Jesus said, and I don't care who says that he was not in there 3 days and three nights. 72 hours is a false doctrine and teaching.
That's right, absolutely.
Amen.
If Jesus said it, that settles it for me. I don't believe in, don't take 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes for those that want to challenge her. Well, he wasn't in the grave 3 days and three nights. In fact, there's some theologians, good, well-meaning, otherwise doctrinally sound, as I'd call it, preachers, teachers, and pastors today, that are trying to back into it and say, well, Jesus wasn't crucified on Friday. He was crucified on Wednesday, and they do that to try to accommodate for the fact that they simply do not believe what Jesus said himself in Matthew, the 12th chapter, in relationship to being in the, or what he says, yes, the 12th chapter in the 40th verse, talking about Jonah 3 days and three nights. If Jesus said it, as you said, Brother Davis, I'm going to agree with it. If Jesus said it, that settles it. I don't have to go any further with it. But there are a lot of people that want to take extraneous thoughts and additions to the Scripture rather than listening to it completely. Let me ask you a question. Let you respond to me. Don't want to put you on the spot, but here's the problem that many have not faced. If a person dies in their sin, they are, without saying yes to Jesus Christ for the sins to be remitted, the sins to be forgiven, for the sins to be covered, if they die in their lost condition, there is not a second chance. There's not a way that the priest can pray them out of purgatory or limbo. There's not a way that anyone can do anything to save them once a person dies in his lostness. And I'm so thankful that when you look at the Scripture with Jesus in Luke 23, talking to the man on the cross that was dying, the dying thief, he didn't say, now, you got to be baptized, you got to go to Baptist church, you've got to believe in this particular denominational dogma. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, yes, once a person says yes to Jesus Christ, the first act of obedience is to be obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, that is, immersion, baptism, and then the other things that we find in the Scripture that we don't have time to go into. What are your thoughts in relationship to number of people that believe that somehow, some way, that you've got to have all of these other extraneous beliefs other than the Bible?
I think they're going to wind up seeing that rich man. There is no purgatory, and it's going to be too late because they're not going to get a second chance. I believe whenever we die, we go to be with Jesus. And they didn't have time to baptize that man on the cross, so baptism does not save. It don't wash away no sins. The song says nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's just a picture of what is happening. When Christ died, was buried, then we are buried like he was and raised in newness of life. And baptism is just a picture. There's no cleansing power in water whatsoever.
That's right. You're speaking about Romans chapter 6, first six verses. And by the way, Brother Davis, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul said it so eloquently, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He didn't say to be absent from the body is to be present in purgatory. To be absent from the body is to be in limbo. To be absent from the body is to be in a holding tank until one day we go to be with Jesus. The Apostle Paul, there was the human author of 14 of the 27 New Testament books, very, very clear. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Brother Davis, thank you so much for your call today and for your insight on the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, if we consider, again, like Brother Davis just got finished saying, you know, stick with the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, here's what he had to say. In the book of John, chapter 5, verses 36 through 39, when they didn't want to believe in him, they wanted to believe in John the Baptist and in his works more than they did in Jesus as being the Son of God. He said in verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." 37. "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." Verse 38. "And ye have not his word abiding in you." See, that's the problem. "Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." And here's what he said, verse 39. We need to stick with this. "Search the scriptures."
Amen.
"For in them ye think," he didn't say you know, he said you think, "you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So once again, he pointed us back to the scriptures. Tell us to search any other book. He didn't tell us to deviate and believe in a little bit of this and a little bit of that. He didn't tell us to go back to the forefathers, the et cetera, et cetera, which you just got finished saying, the saints who are not.
That's right.
He said the scriptures.
Amen.
So that's where we need to be.
Amen. And Dr. Davis, I'm drawn to a text that many will use to validate this fact that supposedly Jesus died and went to hell. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 8, 9, and 10. Read that for us. Ephesians 4, verses 8, 9, and 10.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. 8, 9, and 10. It says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things."
It's just pointing out to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, in the Ephesians 4 text, it's simply a recognition of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The lower parts of the earth is talking about the grave. Just as he is the one that descended from heaven, he also is the one that descended into the lower part of the earth, that is the grave, and he ascended back into heaven. It's talking about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that gives the gifts to us, the gift of teaching, the gift of administration, the gift of whatever gift we might have, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to carry out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as he would have us to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen. There's no place, not a single place, not a single verse of Scripture in context that we find that Jesus went to hell and preached to lost people and gave them another chance. Doesn't exist any place in the Word of God. It doesn't exist any place in context where you would take that. You need to understand the Scripture for what it says. The fact, in fact, Dr. Davis, 1 Peter chapter 3, let me read verses 18, 19, and 20. "For Christ also hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of Christ waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, when few, that is, eight souls, were saved in the waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not talking about dying and going to hell and preaching the gospel to lost people at all. Here Jesus is simply announcing to the saints victory, victory over sin, death, and the grave. And there are a lot of folks, Dr. Davis, that will misinterpret, misapply scriptures, as you said a moment ago, because they're going back to some human writer, some ancient church father that wrote some things. And by the way, many of them did the best they could.
Amen.
With the light that they had.
Amen.
With the light that we have today, with the wonderful opportunity, most Christians today can go immediately online or to their research tools and find word study material to understand words. Now, a lot of people will go to Strong's Concordance, for example. Strong's Concordance is a wonderful tool, but it has nothing to do with context. You can look up a word about Hades, Sheol, Tartarus, etc., etc., for the terms for hell, and you will find they're not giving you context, so you got to determine in the text what is the context and the word that is used. What does that word mean?
Amen.
It goes back to what we talk about in the university and Bible college classes called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is a long word that simply means the art and science of biblical interpretation. How do we interpret Scripture? We do so, ladies and gentlemen, based on the context. What does the context say? But the bottom line is, Dr. Davis, that I'm prayerful that our listeners will understand today, is that when death comes, what does that mean to the individual? Did Jesus die and go to hell for us? No. Is there a place called purgatory? No. After death, is there a second chance for salvation? No. Today's the day of salvation. That is the appointed time. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things, and Dr. Davis, I'd love to have you respond in a challenge to our listeners. There are multitudes that may be listening today, good church members, good denominational members, that will believe the dogmas, that dogma that's being taught based on denominationalism, but have never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. What do we need to say to that person that may be listening today?
Once again, what we need to do, especially if you are an unbeliever, and maybe you have not come along far enough in the faith to fully understand everything about the scriptures the way that you need to know. Just trust in God. Trust in God. What you need to do when you read the Bible or when you hear the word preached, don't look at the individual, look for God.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you need to do. You need to look for God in every situation. And if you pray, Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in his name, he said he'll do it. So we need to understand, again, that he's never going to lead you down a dead-end road. If you desire more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from the Scripture, ask God to reveal that to you. And when he fills you with the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16 says that the Spirit will bring all things back to your remembrance whatsoever he has said in his word. So let God lead you through the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, John chapter 1. So understand, God is going to reveal everything to you about his word when you learn how to just trust in him.
Well, first of all, let me back up. You're right, but let me do a little qualifying. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, God, through the Holy Spirit, illumines our minds, our hearts. I've said, and I say this very carefully, the number of people in a number of churches across denominational lines that say that they can't interpret the Scripture, they can't understand what the Scripture is saying, I believe they need to come to Christ first, knowing him as Savior and as Lord.
Amen. Amen.
That it's only through a relationship with him that he gives the illumination. But let's back up for a moment and tie up what I would call a loose end. When a person says yes to Jesus Christ, immediately following the cessation of life, we're present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What happens to that person that is lost without Christ? The Scripture says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and following, it's talking about the great white throne judgment. And I saw the great white throne judgment, and him, speaking of Jesus, that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. By the way, how do I know that that's Jesus sitting on the throne? Because in John chapter 5, verse 22, the Scripture says, I think it's in 5:22 and verse 26, Scripture says, God the Father judges no man, but all judgment is given into the hands of His Son. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's on the great white throne judgment as the judge of the universe. He's the Supreme Court Justice. He's the Chief Justice of the Heavenly Supreme Court, if you will. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, B-O-O-K-S, that means more than one, were opened. And another book was opened, that's at least one. So at least three books are opened, ladies and gentlemen, of that great white throne judgment. I call it the book of the law, which is the Bible. I call it the book of living, which is the works, showing what an individual has done or has not done. And the book of life, that is talking about those that are saved. So two books are open, the book of the law and the book of the living. And then the book of life is opened, according to the 12th chapter. We're in Revelation chapter 20. And then the Scripture says, in verse, going back to verse 12, and the dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according kata, based upon their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death in hell, that's death in the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according kata, based upon his works. And death and hell, that's death and the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Amen.
Very, very clearly stated. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to understand is that today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. There's some that are listening. Maybe, perhaps you're saying, well, you know, I don't know if I want to give up my denomination. I'm not talking about Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, any other ism or schism, as I call it. I'm talking about a relationship to Jesus Christ. There's no second chance after death. The number of people that this morning did not awaken, that yesterday were planning on what they'd do today, where they'd go, or what vacation they would take, or what trips. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, what happens after death? First of all, this writer says, the believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that after death, believers' soul or the spirit's taken to heaven because their sins were forgiven when they received Jesus Christ, John chapter 3, verse 16, 18, and 23. For believers, death means being away from the body and home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8, Philippians 1, 23. Says, at the resurrection of the believer, the physical body is resurrected, glorified, and reunited with the soul. This reunited and glorified body, soul, will be the state of existence for believers for all of eternity in the new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 21 and 22. Second thing this writer says, for those that have not received Christ as Savior, death means everlasting, eternal, non-ending punishment. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and 23 talks about the rich man. We've talked about that earlier. He cried out to Father Abraham, send Lazarus with just a drop of water to put on my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. In fact, I'm looking at my book, had the privilege of publishing about, I think it came out about a year ago, and the book is That Place Called Heaven. And it talks about how do you get to heaven, what is heaven, the characteristics of heaven, and how we know that we're saved. And I commend this book to you. If you've not read the book, you can go online to conservative.edu or FCBC FCBC at jacks.com. That is the church's website or the school website. And you can find the book, That Place Called Heaven. It is about a 150-page book, and it talks about heaven, talks about hell, and why we need to go to heaven. In fact, I'll read you the blurb on the back of the book. Is paradise the same as heaven? When we die, do we go directly to heaven? Will there be children in heaven? Will we know each other in heaven? What will heaven really be like? Can those who have died visit loved ones on earth? What will believers do in heaven? Will we be married in heaven? This book answers these and many, many other questions about that place called heaven. I commend it to you. I happen to know the writer, the author of the book, and I believe it will be a blessing and a benefit. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord?
Amen.
There's no place in the Scripture, Dr. Davis, where it talks about, find it in context, where Jesus died, was buried, went to hell, and preached the gospel to lost ones that they'd have a second chance. What
Amen.
Say you?
Well, here's the kicker to the whole thing, mm-hmm. to me. Being a thief is not going to keep you out of heaven and send you to hell.
That's right.
Being a murderer, et cetera, et cetera. No great sin, no small sin. It's only the sin of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture proves that out. Right here in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, here's what he had to say. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Skip down to verse 15. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. I'm going to skip down to verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. And the last verse, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Unbelief. Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure we understand. Don't look at the big sin, the small sin, et cetera, et cetera. Get your business fixed right now.
Amen. I like
and
that.
And don't
statement.
Be an unbeliever. Amen.
I like that. To get your business fixed now. I like
Amen.
That. I'm looking at this article, Dr. Davis, and I'll use this statement, and then we'll wrap up. This article says, there's a great deal of confusion regarding this question. Did Jesus go to hell between his death and resurrection? The concept that Jesus went to hell after his death on the cross comes primarily from the Apostles' Creed, which states that he descended into hell. Now, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we can't depend on creeds and what man says. We've got to depend on what God's Word says in context. And as Dr. Davis said just a moment ago, the only answer is saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. For the lost person, death means the flames of hell, Luke 16:23, everlasting punishment. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, have you said yes to Jesus Christ? Do you know him as Savior and as Lord? Salvation, the doctrine of salvation and how you get to heaven, how you get saved is very simple. Say yes to Jesus Christ, invite him to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart and save you, and you're saved, saved, saved.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something. You actually talk about